Let's talk a little bit about what Alec's been up to. We mentioned earlier that the Legislative Council, the American Legislative Exchange Council, is wrapping up its annual meeting. It's the 46th. And talking about issues that are of concern to the states, the Alec, Vice President, Chief Economist, is joining us now. Jonathan Williams, also Vice President of the Center for State Fiscal Reform. The Twitter handle is @TaxEconomist. And Jonathan, I welcome you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me back on the show. Good to be with you.
What specific issues on the legislative side were you discussing relative to, say, taxes and related issues, national debt, for example?
Well, we've got some great discussions this week on property taxes. I know it's something, as we talked to our 2,000 state legislators across the state, over, you know, almost everyone, and say that is one of the top issues they continue to hear about from their constituents. And we're talking about a really great solution that Utah's developed called the Truth in Taxation Law that stops local property taxes from getting out of control. It's a great way to protect taxpayers. And so we're talking about that issue quite a bit this week. We're also tackling pension unfunded liabilities. We're talking about taxes, government debt across the board. And so we're having some really substantive conversations. One of the pieces of model policy that we're going to be considering is actually modeling after that Utah Truth in Taxation Law on property taxes. So some exciting stuff going on, real buzz this week around Austin, over 1,500 attendees now at the ALEC annual meeting, and it's a great week to be here talking about free markets.
So what is the Truth in Taxation Law? Give us some the broad brushstrokes, or if you want to get into some detail about it, I'm kind of curious what exactly it says needs to be done.
So it's an interesting law in terms of a property tax piece, because, you know, what happens oftentimes, as you know, is property tax collections are overwhelmingly local in nature, although many times states are brought into that equation and asked to help buy down local property taxes. We saw the debate play out in Texas this year, in Iowa, and some other states, Nebraska. And what you back in the 1980s was to say, we're not going to limit local governments per se and what they can do, not California style Prop 13 necessarily, where they limited the assessment growth on housing that had been occupied by the same owner. But what Utah did was to say, let's stop this, one of the biggest problems, I think, with property tax regimes, which is the assessment-driven property tax increase, which is a lot of times local officials will look at you straight in the face and say, we just cut your property taxes. And they're partially right, because they maybe cut your property tax rate. But at the same time, they allowed the assessment to go up higher than the rate reduction. And people actually saw that their bills went up over last year's. So what Utah did was they actually, if your rate or your assessment goes up in a property taxing district, then all you need to do is have a recorded vote by that local jurisdiction to say, we want to keep this extra money. So it's not a limit per se on local government's ability to raise property taxes. It's just a way of inserting more transparency and accountability into the process to make sure that local officials are being straight with taxpayers.
And not to belabor this particular issue that we've been discussing, but a lot of states do it differently, and the key is to have consistency within a state into how the property taxes are determined. For example, it could be the assessment, it could be the rate, the valuation, et cetera. But different states do it differently, correct? So how do you have legislation that makes its way around the country that's kind of universal?
Right. Well, yeah, states are very different. And when you get into local jurisdictions and their taxing authority, it's very different even further. And there's many more local jurisdictions, obviously, than there are states. And so, you know, this is something that's a model policy. It's a kind of put out there as a best practice that it's worked for Utah very well. Utah's ranked number one in our rich states, poor states economic outlook ranking now for all 12 years of this publication. And we think there's a real secret to what they've been doing, and that's property tax reform and pension reform. And so what you do is you put out a model policy, and this is what Alec's done for 46 years now, and say it might not work for everybody. It may be a different format than you use in your state, but you can apply it to the extent that you feel you're comfortable applying it to your state, and taking the principles and adding transparency and accountability, let's say in this case, to the assessment process and to the overall property tax collection process.
Jonathan Williams, Vice President, Chief Economist at the American Legislative Exchange Council. They've got their 46th meeting that's wrapping up today. Alec is doing it. Jonathan, respond to criticism that Alec is just basically being paid for by business around the country, and your group is trying to push forward legislation that favors Republicans or big business.
Well, it's unfortunate, but it's a silly criticism. And Alec has been very clear over the years that we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. The policies that we pursue, we think are good for all Americans, regardless of party affiliation. We don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian. There's a lot to like among Alec model policy. And actually, one of the, I think, the most successful piece, just to give you an example of Alec model policy in our history, is budget transparency, something that now all 50 states have adopted, at least in some part. And as you may know, the story to that, how it started, was in Washington, D.C. Kind of we're taking reverse way that usually things work and go from the states to D.C. This worked the other way. And the sponsors of that bill in Washington, D.C. were none other than very conservative Republican Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, and at the time, a little known Democrat from Illinois, Barack Obama. So we actually have taken lots of different ideas from Republicans and Democrats and saying what's a good practice that states can look at for adoption.
And not to get too far from your particular field of expertise, but I think Alec was also behind the Stand Your Ground law, which became pretty famous in Florida. And that is something also that became promoted around the country by Alec, correct?
Well, so that was an issue that happened in Florida first. Florida came to Alec and talked about the issue here. But as you probably know, that's an issue we haven't dealt with for nearly a decade. Our board said we need to have a clear focus on what we're good at, and that's economic issues. And so now since 2012 or so, we've devoted exclusively to economic issues. And so yeah, that's something from kind of the distant past, yes.
I appreciate your answering that. Real quick, because we're about to wrap, I was kind of curious about national debt. There's been a lot of concern about the fact that it has skyrocketed. The deficit is up again, and the national debt is up. How does that get handled on the state level? We know that most states, it's required that you have a balanced budget each year. There's something that helps with the national debt on the state level?
I think so. And yes, 49 out of the 50 states have some sort of a balanced budget requirement. The only one that does not is Vermont. And it's an issue that, some balanced budget amendments are better than others. I mean, California and Illinois have balanced budget amendments, and that hasn't done them a whole lot of good when it comes to stopping debt piling up in those states, especially with pension liabilities. But yes, I do think we can learn some very important lessons from the states in terms of best practices that hopefully Washington, D.C. can take and learn a page from. In fact, Chairman Mike Enzi from the Senate Budget Committee just held a hearing to that effect, saying, what can we learn from state budget processes? And I think there were some very interesting takeaways. And one of those was, balanced budget amendments, what makes an effective balanced budget amendment? I think perhaps Indiana, opposite of Illinois, has one of the most effective balanced budget amendments because it actually includes some real teeth and doesn't allow government officials to evade the rules so easily. But another thing that I think works very well is something like Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, which has been in their state constitution now for more than 25 years, which limits the growth of government to something along the size of the private sector growth. Because at the end of the day, that's what states have to grapple with. They know they can't accumulate debt in many cases. They need to keep government spending limited to the size of the private sector economy. So there's some great solutions across the states, and we hope that Washington, D.C. pays attention.
So you wrap up today, is that correct?
Yes, we wrap up this afternoon with our final policy committee meetings where we'll be discussing the Utah Truth in Taxation Law and many other things.
All right. Jonathan Williams, I appreciate you spending time with us on POTUS today. Thank you.
Always good to be with you. Take care.
Jonathan Williams, Vice President, Chief Economist at the American Legislative Exchange Council. Some thoughts on some specific policies they're talking about statewide, states around the country, legislatures. There are a lot of people at this meeting in Austin, Texas, as he mentioned. And if you missed it earlier, alec.org is where you can go to find out what they've been talking about. And he is tweeting, Jonathan Williams is tweeting, at Tax Economist.